Dark Discussions, your place for the discussion of horror film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. A weekly podcast where the discussion is about the most recent horror and genre films. Intelligent talk on a genre that deserves intelligence. A conversation between co-hosts discussing not only the film, but also the connotation that the directors and screenwriters are trying to articulate. If you want more than a review, listen to Dark Discussions.
And speaking of perception, there's just one more scene I want to talk about, which is after Caleb discovers that Kyoto's a robot, Kyoto kind of peels off her skin, showing him what's underneath.
Now, wait a minute. I know where you're going with this, but tell me you weren't already thinking this 15 minutes earlier in the film. Exactly what he's thinking at that moment.
Which is he's a robot, too.
Oh, I considered the possibility.
Right, and that's what I like, is the fact that the writers were smart enough to know that this is what the audience would be thinking.
We've all seen Blade Runner.
Right. Exactly.
www.darkdiscussions.com, wherever podcasts are found.
Hello, welcome once again to Dark Discussions, your place for discussion of horror, film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. I am one of your co-hosts, Philip, from the state of New Hampshire in the US of A, and with me in the state of Michigan.
This is Eric.
Eric, how are you, sir?
I am well.
Excellent. And in the Commonwealth of Virginia?
Hey, this is Barrett.
Barrett, how are you, sir?
Good.
Excellent. And in the state of New York, Mike is supposed to be with us, but something's come up, and we'll see if he joins us or not. For folks who are curious, today is February 22nd, 2024, the day before my birthday. It is, for those who are curious, when we release our episodes, because sometimes these episodes aren't released immediately, because sometimes we're on vacation or sick or something comes up, technical difficulties, and we always want to have a couple of episodes in the queue to release whenever those weeks happen. So this one here, though, most likely will be coming out early March of 2024. So who are we? We are Dark Discussions Podcast, which is www.darkdiscussions.com. It is part of the Dark Discussions News Network, this podcast. It's the original, the OG. Basically, what we do here is talk about movies. So horror, sci-fi, fantasies, thrillers, techno-thrillers, mysteries, grindhouse, art house, midnight movies, foreign language films, cult films, drive-in fear, and the like. Basically, we try to talk intelligently about a genre that deserves intelligence. We do have an email, darkdiscussions@aol.com. You can email us, and we will read your email on the podcast. Simply put in the subject, however, DDP, because if you do that, then we will be able to find your email searching for it. Also, whatever else you want to put in the subject, but make sure it starts with DDP, because we do get dozens and dozens and dozens of screener and marketing materials daily, and your email gets mixed in with all those. Make sure a DDP is in the subject. Also, Eric, what else do people have they can do on www.darkdiscussions.com?
Well, they can find a link to our Patreon account. Patreon allows you to financially contribute to our online artists like us. Producing this show is not free. We have to pay for things like web hosting and domain names and computer equipment and movie tickets and so on and so forth. So if you'd like to help offset the cost of producing this show, that's how you can do it. You can go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions or click on the Patreon badge and page of darkdiscussions.com. And for every $5 a month that you care to donate, you'll have the opportunity to submit a topic for us to possibly do a show on. We take all the submissions from our patrons and draw one on a quarterly basis. So any and all contributions are greatly appreciated.
That is true, indeed. And actually, tonight is one of those topics. The film is a film that I believe Chris Genro suggested as one of his Patreon picks. And so it popped up. And that's pretty much the house cleaning. We do have a Facebook group called Dark Discussions Podcast Facebook group. Just join there and enter into the discussions or start your own. And also, you can go to Apple Podcasts and the like, and make sure to leave reviews, preferably 5-star or whatever the the best star review is, and comments as well, all positive, hopefully. And for those who are curious, Google Podcast is going to be extinct starting the first week of April. So those of you who listen to us through Google Podcasts should go elsewhere, whether it's Overcast or Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Yeah, exactly the one I just mentioned. And wherever else podcasts are found, you can listen to us that way. And, of course, you can find all the podcasts on darkdiscussions.com, except for the first 150 that I have to still load. So,
oh, you beat me to it.
Hey, Eric, I actually did that for you on Monday.
Thank you.
Yeah, on the side podcast, the Halo podcast, which we'll mention at the end. All right, so what we'll do, if we have time at the end of the episode, we'll maybe talk about some news and things of that nature. Maybe Mike will join us at some point during the podcast as well. But before we get all of that, we do have our topic tonight. And so, Eric, what is our topic for tonight?
Tonight, like Phil said, we're doing a Patreon pick. This is a film from 2015. It's a Korean film called The Piper.
자기가 뭐 해서 먹고 사는 사람이고.
아니, 제가 좀 피리 부는 재주가 있어가지고요. 그거 아니겠죠.
그날 이후에 지들이 갑자기 난폭에 젖었어. 약을 쳐도 덧칠려 하고 당초에 듣질라.
귀때 기다린 짐승들은 제 피리 소리에 막 움직인다니까요.
몽땅 다 내쫓는다면은 내 소 한 마리 값을 내놓겠네.
아, 이 마을에 뭔 일이 있었대요?
너 그 악사람한테 무슨 얘기 들었나?
이게 알려지면 우리 마을은 끝이지. 끝!
온다! 손님이!
That's right. Not sure if that trailer had any worth to people who don't speak Korean, but there you go. But yes, the film is called The Piper, at least in English.
Did you just say English?
Yes. I can't.
Oh, my
speak.
God.
I can't even speak. I'll just blame it on the Boston accent. But it's called The Piper, 2015 film. I guess in Korean, it's literally translated to The Guest, but it is The Piper. The film is a period piece, takes place in late 1953, late 1953 summer, so maybe like August or September. The film is directed by Gwang Tae Kim, also written by him, and stars folk none of us, I think, know. I wasn't familiar with any of them.
Wait, when did you say it takes place?
1953, August, September.
That makes a lot of sense. All right, thanks.
The film stars Sung Ryung Ru, Sung Min Lee, Woo Hee Chun, and Jun Lee.
Wow. Did you practice that? Nicely done.
Thank you very much. Cinematography, Jae Sik Hong. And edited by Chang Ju Kim. Music by Ji Su Lee. And there you go. CJ Entertainment released it, which is a pretty big company in South Korea. The production company was UBU Film. Film actually came out July 9th, 2015. South Korean and in the Korean language. All right, so I guess that's all I got for that. So I guess we can get into how we heard about this film and what we thought about this film. So, Eric, why don't you start?
All right. Well, I had never heard of this film before it was chosen for a Patreon pick. So I watched it this evening right before we started recording. And I'll be honest, for the first 45 minutes of this movie, I was not a happy camper. It has a sense of whimsy, which I don't welcome in my horror movies.
It's that Asian humor.
Yeah. So I was getting a little irritated with it during the first 45 minutes. And had I like just spotted it randomly on a streaming service and started watching it, I don't know if I would have made it that far. That being said, 45 minutes in, it starts to get good. And then an hour in, shit gets real. So it's worth hanging in there to get to the end of the movie. Because the movie's super dark and I loved it. It takes a while to get where it's going, but it's worth getting there.
All right. Sounds good. For me, I heard about this film because it was a pick as a Patreon. It's been on the list for a while, and it was pulled, and then we finally decided to record it tonight. I watched it two nights ago on Tuesday, the 20th of February, 2024, and I was not looking forward to watching it because a lot of Korean films go on for like 2 hours and a half or 3 hours, it seems, and they can sometimes drag, at least some of my experiences, though I am a huge Korean movie fan. It's just that a film that I never heard of, I was not excited to check out. However, the movie's fairly short for a Korean film. It's only an hour and 45 minutes or so, 48 minutes, something like that. The film is, as Eric mentioned and Barrett did too, has a whimsical feeling to it for the first 45 minutes. That did not bother me at all, though, because even though it's a Korean film, it has a feel of Japanese anime, and I watch a lot of Japanese anime and manga, and I read and all that stuff, and that type of weird humor that is kind of annoying doesn't bother me because I'm just so used to it, and I just accept it because I want to see the stories that are in anime and manga and whatnot. What was my feeling on this film? I actually thought this film was fantastic. I was shocked how great this film was. From the beginning to the end, I was enraptured in it. The story has a great plot, even though it is based off of the fable Pied Piper of Hamelin, or legend, or whatever you want to call it. So it's not like an original story, but it's well done. How they do it, acting was solid. The two lead characters, the Piper and the village boss, were really good examples of an empath and a sociopath to the T. And I was like, I thought their interactions and the shock of the empath and the diseased mind of the sociopath, I saw it. I see this every day in my life, for Christ's sakes. So it was unbelievable. The story rocks, and it may be one of the best films I've seen. It's not like awesome as in one of the best films I've ever seen, but I feel as an episode or a movie to watch as an episode for the podcast, it's one of the better ones that I've ever seen. So a big thumbs up for me. High point. Great film. Great choice. Kris Jenner, if it was you, well done. Excellent film. Let's go for you, Barrett.
Yeah. I had never heard of this film until you guys talked about it because it was a Patreon film. I probably, before my time at Dark Discussions, would not have seen it because I was not big on subtitles.
I think so I converted you.
Yeah, I think so. So I went into this having no clue what it was going to be about. And it had that whimsy that I've seen in a lot of different
Asian things like Lone Wolf and Cub, things like that. So that didn't really bother me, but it did kind of drag the beginning down a little bit. But yeah, once you get to that 45-minute mark, well, and you could feel the menace earlier. It just had so much whimsy. It was pulling you in and tricking you until you get to this point where there's a tipping point and things just get really bad. This movie's harsh. It's dark. It's really, really good film. And I did not expect to like it as much as I did. I'm glad I did. I'm glad I saw it. People should watch this movie. It's really good.
All right, so the film is readily available to rent, though it is available on Tubi for free at least at this time on February 22nd.
And very good quality on Tubi, I might add.
Yeah, it's like 4K, I would think.
Fuck it.
Yeah, so... so that is our thoughts on the film. So I guess we get into the wiki. Eric, do we have a wiki?
Shortly after the Korean War, a father and his son are wandering through the country and make a stop in a remote village where strange and dangerous happenings occur.
All right. So, I guess that's kind of right, but. Kind
of, it's better than some of the ones I've seen.
It's really vague, so that's cool.
Yeah, the other ones I've seen were not vague and kind of gave things away, so that's pretty good.
Right, and to be honest, though, I don't even know if that is correct because the bad stuff isn't. There's rats, but I mean they're a pest, but. Well, we'll get into it when we
start. I would say there's some strange happenings, but...
Did you watch the whole movie?
I sure did. But, okay. But I felt that quote-unquote supernatural was more related to the... Similar to that other Korean film we saw that was actually like 2 hours and 45 minutes, where the supernatural... They have shamans and stuff, but I felt it was just superstition and not real.
I would have agreed with you, but I don't want to get into why I don't in this particular case.
Sure. And that's fair. All right, so that's our reviews. So what we do here on the Dark Discussions podcast, well, the Dark Discussions podcast doesn't just review films. We also critique and dissect our films that we talk about. So what we do at first, after
we tear them apart.
But what we do first is we basically talk about non-spoilery stuff. So maybe we'll talk about this film in the Korean genre, or in myths and legends, or whatever, or just Asian films in general. Or we could talk about the director and things like that, even though we don't know who any of them are, so I doubt we'll do that. So what we do then is that we throw up the spoiler and we talk about everything and anything related to this film. So we'll talk about the twists, the turns, the spoiler stuff, specific scenes and try to dissect them, what the writer-director, who is the same person, is trying to say. Maybe talk about things related to that time period and the Korean War and the culture and all that stuff. What's that, Eric?
Nothing.
Okay. So all in all, until then, we will talk about non-spoilery stuff. So where do we want to go? I guess we'll talk about at least I'll bring up the Pied Piper of Hamelin, for folks who may not know. I mean, our generation did, because those was like one of those tales that you would find in your
public. I don't know stuff. It.
Oh, is that true? Okay. Well, I won't go into.
Does it end the same way?
Basically, it's about this Pied Piper who comes to this village that's swamped.
What does that mean?
It's just basically a guy that plays like a piccolo or something.
So why is he pied? What does that mean? Did somebody hit him in the face with a pie?
Pied means the color of clothing they wear. So it's like a outfit. So basically this guy goes to this town and he offers to get rid of all the rats that are in the town because they're a pain and eating the crops and all that stuff. And the town agrees and they offer him the money. They say, yep, absolutely. Whether they believed it would work or not, they didn't know, but it worked. He starts playing the pipe. Magically, all the rats follow him out of town, up into the hills and the mountains or wherever. And he comes back. All the rats are gone forever. And he comes to collect his money. And the town says, F off. So he decides to play the pipe. And he takes away all their children. And they lose all their children. They have become like a dying town and mass depression and suicides and all
that. Yeah, it's definitely a Grimm's fairy tale.
Yeah. So that's the Pied Piper of Hamelin. It takes place in Germany.
I knew there was a dude with a flute and a bunch of rats. That's all I knew about that story.
Yeah, they weren't sticking around with those old stories.
Yeah. Basically, the revenge is he steals all, he basically takes away all their children and they all die. But if they had just paid him, everything would have been fine.
Bunch of cheap bastards.
That's what happens.
What do you expect from those Germans?
The people that use fucking Tubi.
So where do we want to go from there? What else do we want to talk about? So that's where the story comes.
I just want to mention that I'm fairly certain. I mean, there are certain shots in this movie, like you said, there's a bunch of rats. And there's some shots where it's clearly CG because you didn't want to shoot that with real rats. But I'm fairly certain there are a large number of actual rats used in that movie, and it's impressive. Either that or some of the best CGI I've ever seen in my life.
There is some CGI, and the CGI is pretty solid, too. But go on, Bert.
Yeah, it's just so cool looking. Those downward views when he's got all the rats moving and stuff. I mean, it's just amazing looking.
Yep. Yeah, the special effects were pretty solid for what we probably assume is a low budget film, $4 million. So that's actually not too bad. But the rats looked really awesome. Both the CGI ones and obviously the real ones.
What I find interesting about this film is that you guys hadn't heard about it because you guys hear about so much stuff. And I'm, you know, for such an amazing film, it seems like this one would have caught your attention.
Well, this one's totally off the radar, and I looked it up on Rotten Tomatoes, and it wasn't easy to find, first of all, and second of all, it's like it only has 2 critic reviews on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it's kind of scary because it's so good.
Nobody's talking about this movie.
Yeah, but basically what it's a strange thing is like back in the day when I was getting really into Asian horror, certain companies were releasing a bunch of them. Tatar was one of them. I don't even think they exist anymore. And then I found this Asia-DVD website that is no longer in exist either. And I would order unrestricted discs, meaning discs that could be played in all regions or so region free, and you could I was buying Japanese and Korean and Thai films from overseas and getting them shipped, because what happens, I found out, is that only like certain hugely big name films from Asia actually get a release in the States. And so this could be one of those examples. And when they what happens is after people start getting into certain Asian films, then they would start grabbing the bottom of the barrel or indie films or whatever and start releasing them as well. But only a handful, because again, how many times do you sell discs? Now with VOD, it's a little easier because, you know, it costs nothing to just, all you have to do is pay for the rights to show the film. So I'm thinking that's what happened, because this film is an old film, so, because it's 9 years old now, which sadly is an old film. And so I'm thinking it was one of those films that were just ignored because back then VOD was fairly new, and no one wanted to release it or pay for the rights for it, because how many people in the U.S., for example, were going to actually really watch it. So I think that's what happened, Barrett. It's just one.
Yeah,
of
and this one's worth buying, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would concur with that. It's a great story. It's a great film, a really good film, hidden gem if you prefer. So what else did we want to talk about that's generic to the film without spoiling it? Anybody have any information?
No, I'll just say once again that when I'm watching foreign films, I much prefer subtitles to overdubs to get the emotion of the original actor.
Yeah, I actually tried to see if it had a dub version, because I was going to watch it dub, but it didn't, so I just watched it subtitled in the original language, and it was fine. So I would concur, Eric, that was pretty solid to watch it in its original language. Even if you had to read subtitles. Anything else anybody wanted?
Reading's good, Phil. You're an author.
I understand, but sometimes I like watching a film dubbed. I'm so used to watching all the European horror films from the 70s and Japanese kaiju films all dubbed, so it doesn't really bother me that much. So, you know, but it's a fair point.
It wouldn't, like, I can understand if you are going to put it on and not, like, just kind of have it on in the background and, like, be messing around on your phone or whatever, then I can kind of understand going with an overdub if you're not paying rapt attention to the movie.
Right, right. Well, yeah, like when I watch anime with my kids, I always watch it dubbed because, again, it's a comic. So our animation, so it doesn't really matter.
Can't read that fast.
But they can't read it. So one of them is still learning to read, and the other one prefers not to read while they're watching a film. And the dubs are usually pretty solid because they're especially for anime, because they're like the regulars. It's the same people that do all the animes, and so they have it all down pat. So it's a little different. All right, so let's see. What else did we want to talk about that is non-related? So, yeah, so the Korean War, says 3 years it took place. People that aren't familiar with the war, and it's an aspect they bring up in this movie here. The war really wasn't just North Korea and South Korea and the United States and quote-unquote allies helping South Korea. It was also North Korea was really a good percentage of the forces that the Allied forces were fighting weren't even North Korean. They were Chinese because the Red Chinese Army was actually the one that we were really fighting, even more so than the North Koreans. All the airplanes were Chinese airplanes that they've plopped on the North Korean symbol or flag on them. And then all the soldiers, a good percentage of the soldiers were the Chinese. And when the China entered the war, that's what brought it into a stalemate. It also ended the career of Douglas MacArthur, because he said he wanted to nuke China. And Truman said no, but he went public, and so Truman fired him. And then the war ended with a ceasefire. Technically, they're still at war today. It ended, the ceasefire was July 27th, 1953.
And it's a fairly large piece of the story. I mean, just like it affects the story, let's put it that way.
Yeah, very, very much. And especially the period piece, literally the war just ended. So obviously the aftermath, that's very important. And it should be noted that the United States has never had a war or fought or shot at or been shot at by Russians, yet we have been murdered and fought Chinese communists. So it's an interesting aspect of history that Russia, we've never had actually been in a fight with, and yet China and other countries we have. All right, so that's some backstory of that. help with the discussion of the film. Anything else anybody wanted to bring up prior to – oh, and careers split it by two for folks who don't know. Basically, after World War II career, the Russians and whatnot took over the northern part of Korea while the Allies liberated the southern part from Japan. And rather than unite the country, the Russians said, nope, and they made it a Soviet satellite, basically. And to this day, it's still a communist country and one of the most – it's called the Hermit Kingdom for a reason, because it is – no one can go in and no one can go out. And people actually try to flee North Korea to China, which just shows you how bad North Korea is. So that's all I got. All right, anything else anybody want to bring up that's non-spoilery?
Just that The acting was amazing as well. I mean, I think it was brought up before. It was, you know, you never know with these types of films because we don't know the level of actors that are in them. So it's always nice when you get really good ones.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I brought up the empath and the sociopath. The two were so well written. I was like amazed how good it was. Really good. All right. So I guess, since we were drying up with, what things to say that are non-spoilery, I guess we can throw up the spoiler. And, at this time we can talk about everything and anything, related to the film. So, where do we want to go? Well, let's just do the setup. So there's this guy with his son, a little boy, a 10-year-old, trying to head to Seoul because during the war, his wife, you know, was killed during a bombing raid or whatever by the Chinese. And his son has what is tuberculosis, and he was told by what appears to be an American serviceman that in Seoul there's a medical doctor that is a specialist in tuberculosis, and it may do it for free, take care of the boy for free. So that's why he's heading to Seoul, and we are assuming it is a good journey to get to Seoul, and it appears that they're walking as well. And his only property is basically what they have on their back, and then his piccolo or flute or whatever you want to call it, that he plays for money or food or a room or whatnot.
One note here is that even though it's 1953, it feels more medieval.
Yeah, yeah, and I'll say this. Obviously, Korea for years had been screwed at that point because they were a satellite of Japan for years, and then they got their independence, but then got invaded by Japan, and then they were stuck in the war, and then they got their independence, but half the country was taken away. And then by 1953, the war started in 50, so literally only 5 years after the end of World War II, and Korea was a main part of World War II. So it wasn't like they had much time to do anything. And then by the time they probably were going to be able to start doing stuff, the Korean War happens when North Korea floods the border and whatnot. And so in 1953 – it makes sense that it would be fairly non-developed yet to be the nation that it is today, never mind the fact that it was right after two major wars. So, yeah, that's a fair point, Barrett. It definitely did. When I first started watching the film, I agree. I was like, oh, this must be like 1880 or something.
Right. Feels that.
Yeah. And then when they start talking about the Korean War, I go, oh, okay, this is right. This is 1903.
Yeah, you also have to just understand that different parts of the world are differently advanced. You can go to parts of the USA where you wouldn't be able to tell it's past the early 1900s just because they live the older style of life there and they don't care to modernize. And some places just don't have the money to do it either. So it's different standards of living across the globe.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, this career in 1953 after two major wars compared to career in 2014, huge difference. Absolutely yeah. huge difference.
They're decimated in what we're seeing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then they became one of the fastest modernized countries probably in history. So yeah, yeah, and especially this part of Korea too, Eric. You're absolutely right. This is like rural, middle of nowhere. This is the Ozarks of Korea, basically. So yeah. All right. So that's the setup. That's the time frame. I'll say this: the father is a very kind and nice man, very empathetic, only expects, even though he lost his wife in the war and he saw the mass murdering by communists, specifically the Chinese and North Koreans, he generally has the belief, at least of his people, meaning South Koreans, are good and honest souls. And so he has full – I don't think he understands that people can be, as you say, Eric, suck. so he's very – I don't want to call him naive. I just think he has the belief that people are generally good rather than generally bad.
Yeah. Some people would mistake him for simple, but he's not simple. He just – yeah, he thinks people are not – he doesn't go right to their bad.
Right.
Yes, which means he is indeed a naive.
Well, yeah, I unfortunately, over the years, I used to be like him, and I've not soured, what's the word, hardened, over the years because of
your
betrayals.
Eyes to reality.
Yeah. When you trust people, and
it never ends well.
No.
You know, it does with
hope
some.
It's the root of all disappointment.
Yeah. I think the only person that never screwed me over ever was my mother, and my two kids. And that's
I was going to say, I hope your wife hasn't.
Yet.
well, hey, Mike, there's Mike.
Wait till they're teenagers.
Yeah, well, that's true. But my point is, no, I mean, even your wife or your siblings or your even, you know, my dad at some points, you know, pissed me off here or there. But to have that empathetic belief that all people are good and trust people like this guy does, it's very, very
rare to have that old, especially after the country just went through a war.
Yeah, exactly. So
I lost that when I was in my teens, maybe even earlier.
Yeah, so Mike has just joined us. We just entered the spoiler alert section. But before we continue talking, we'll get Mike's review on the film and how he heard about the film. So go ahead, Mike.
Well, I knew the film existed until it was a Patreon pick. I watched it last night on Tubi, which... I want to point out to Eric, had zero ads.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah, just the beginning, just at the beginning.
I had them
I didn't even get one
zero,
at the
is it?
I think I had one in the middle somewhere.
I had, like,
it's cool if it didn't interrupt your movie watching for ads. So
yeah, Mike, it was 4K, too. That was pretty good.
I didn't notice how many K. It was, I had nothing. For whatever reason. I don't know why. There were no ads. Anyway.
I liked this.
Yeah,
I love support artists.
Yeah, I surprisingly liked the film. I liked it a lot. I mean, except for one thing, and that is the fact that I had to actually do some research about Korea, and, you know, as an American...
Phil already went all through that. Please, no more.
To not learn about other
Save
cultures.
Us.
So what did you discuss about it?
I mean, Phil gave us an entire history of the Korean conflict.
Peninsula. Yeah.
And then we were just getting into the plot of the movie. Basically, there's a dude with a flute, and he gets to the town.
Yeah, so it really is just an allegory for the Korean Peninsula under the, was it the First Republic?
Right, yeah. Or whatever is left of it, anyway.
Well, under Rhee.
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
Who was the staunch anti-communist and the totalitarian and just happened to be the totalitarian we supported.
Hey, he hated the commies, so enemy of my enemy is my friend.
But that's the kind of thing that a Korean audience watching this that, you know, has some awareness of their own history would pick up immediately, but I don't think, you know, the average American would too. Would.
Sure.
So, but otherwise I liked it a lot. It's a Korean film, so you know it's going to turn into a revenge story. I didn't realize the title should have been a clue, that I was basically just watching the Korean version of going to be watching the Korean version of the Pied Piper story, although that kind of becomes obvious very quickly.
Right. Well, I don't think you're right. It was Rhee. Yeah. For a second there, I thought you said he, but he was the guy from 1961. But yeah, it was Rhee, for sure. Anyway, continue, Mike. I'm sorry.
No, so I don't know what else to add to it besides that.
That you like the film. All right, very well.
Yeah, it was pretty universal. That's universal now. I mean, we've all said that we really liked it.
Yeah, I called it a hidden gem, too. Because, you know,
yeah, and the two leads, the two male
leads. Oh, my God, dude. So good.
The protagonist and the villain I thought were fantastic.
Yeah, I specifically said that. I said they were probably the best well-drawn empath and sociopath I've seen in a long time. And they were so realistic, I felt, as well.
The chief is not a nice man.
No. Yeah, I don't know how realistic the chief is. He is kind of mustache twirly and obvious. But again, we're adapting a fable. So I'm not expecting him to be,
cuddly.
You know, two, three-dimensional.
I thought he was somewhat subtle because he used other people to do his dirty work.
Yeah, and I also feel that as a sociopath, he would have just ignored the guy or let him walk if certain things didn't pop up. You know, so I didn't feel he was that mustache twirling until after the fact. But and that's why, because they're, like you said, Barry,
it got progressively worse as the movie went on.
And by the end he is definitely a major villain.
Pure evil. I see where Mike's going with the rice ball and stuff, so that could be to the point of like that was not necessary. So yeah, that could be
no, that was just fun.
That could have been twirling for sure. That's prompt for sure. Yeah. All right. So we're into the spoilery section, and we just did, as Eric said, the setup where the guy's going to Seoul. He has a limp from the war. His wife's dead from the war. Walking who knows how many hundreds of miles to Seoul for – bring his son for tuberculosis, a doctor that will probably help him for free, supposedly. And that's where we begin and we pick up the story.
And one of the little details I liked about this movie is that he's going to Seoul to see a doctor, and this serviceman that he talked to gave him an address on a piece of paper. But when we look at the piece of paper, we as an English-speaking audience know that it says on the piece of paper, "Kiss my ass, monkey." He doesn't read English, and he thinks this is an address.
Yeah, he's been sent to go see a Dr. MacArthur.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's already been fired. I mentioned that, too, that he got fired, Douglas MacArthur. So he is, it's a fool's journey, but not necessarily a fool's journey, because by the time he gets to Seoul, there will be doctors there. And so even though it was a scam or the serviceman was just being a dink, the point is if he gets to Seoul, there's a good chance that he would possibly get medical attention, at least better than where he is now. So I won't call it a true fool's journey. Just the address and location in the city is the fool's journey. So that was interesting. That was a interesting aspect of the film, for sure. About the U.S. servicemen and the note. Let's see. So where do we want to go from here? What section or part do we want to talk about right now? Do we want to just go right into the village? Because that's pretty much
what happens. Well, Michelle's up and they've got a rat problem, right?
Since you were talking about the naivete of the lead, I guess. I think the whole thing is just to make him as likable as possible so the audience is as on board with the revenge when that comes and feels just as betrayed. They do everything they can to make this such a good guy, right? You start with an sympathetic character. You start with the fact that he's a single father. He himself is injured, right? He has a limp. His son is riddled with ailments and is dying of tuberculosis, presumably. He's just so happy to have had some place to take him in. He's willing to help anybody do anything, whatever they need, their needs are. He's more than happy to help out. And I think it's very effective in that, in making it. How many times have we complained about the fact that there's, like, we hated the characters in a film or found them completely unlikable?
Oh, TV shows for that matter.
Yeah. And if anything, you could argue if you want that maybe they went overboard making him likable, but I think, again, it's a fable. I think that's perfectly fine.
Right. Yeah, well, I honestly have been that stupid myself. Trusting people way too much and offering
well, you don't know until you know. But yeah. Once you're old enough, you should know. Like I did some stupid shit in my early 20s, and I trusted some people I should not have, for sure.
Right.
But once you're, old enough to have a 10-year-old kid, you should probably know some of that stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean,
somehow he didn't. Somehow he missed that.
Well, I don't know what. Well, first of all, what's the worst that could happen, right? Is that they send him on his way without paying?
Well, I actually think we saw the worst that can happen.
but a normal,
realistic,
normal sociopath,
right? Yeah. Realistically, what's the worst that could happen, right? You agree to do a job for somebody, and they stiff you on the payment.
Right.
That's about the worst you could expect.
Right.
Right, is that they just basically send him off on his own, and he's exactly where he was with, 2 days ago, except he's got a little food in his belly.
Right. They gave him – the worst is you would expect was that they wouldn't pay him, but at least he got, two nights and some food. So, yeah, who would have ever expected the horror that would happen? So I especially by his own people, right? Because this is South Korea. It's not like he's behind enemy lines or anything like that. So I would concur that I don't think his naivety, if that's even how you say that word, is that wrong, because generally the people were showing
I didn't think it was ridiculous.
Okay,
I just like to spread my message of darkness.
Yeah, it's sort of like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, right? You probably shouldn't pick up a hitchhiker. But
right.
Who thinks it's going to end up going there?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And he had a good day and a half or 2 days or how many days he was there. Everything was going fine. There was a kind woman that he had the hots for, and she had the hots for him. He became friendly with some folks. He made some medicine from herbs to help this guy, and the guy started calling him Big Brother. And all this other stuff. So he was making a good group of friendships and relationships
But I feel like the woman was his ultimate downfall.
I mean, we'll get into that in a moment too. That was unbelievably.
Well, to be fair, it's not her fault. But
no, I'm not saying it was her fault. I said she was his ultimate downfall because that's the reason a lot of stuff happens to him.
Dude, Rosie, always her fault.
Right. That's the thing. But basically, we find out pretty early is that the chief or boss, whatever you want to call him, that runs the
town. They call him chief, so let's call him
chief.
Yeah. So the chief who runs the town, so he's like the mayor type thing, says, don't tell people the war is over. Because it was kind of
strange. Because he's using fear to control them.
Yeah, exactly. So he's still telling the folk that, you know, the Chinese are coming and they're going to wipe us out. So we got to be careful and we have to be isolated and whatnot. And for whatever reason, people want power or to control people. You know, he's one of those people. For whatever reason, except for cluster B motherfucker. Behavioral health issues. And this guy here, since he's not a local and the man has given him food and water and shelter and is kind to him, or at least appears to be, at least at the beginning, agrees and says, yeah, I won't tell anybody, don't worry. So that's how the setup is. So we know right away that something's a little fishy with the chief, even if he's not showing anything really bad. And then
you get a sense of dread from him. Like there's something not right with him.
Well, there's an interesting conversation the chief has with his son, meaning the chief's son. And the chief's son says, why are you being so nice to this guy? And I should have wrote it all down, but the chief says,
you do anything without a reason.
What he said was, if you're kind to someone, eventually they'll forget. While if you're mean to someone, they'll never forget. And so basically what he's implying is if you're kind to this guy, after he leaves the village in a few days, he'll just forget us and we don't have to worry about him anymore. Versus being mean to him, he'll always remember that. And based off of how the cluster B personality thinks, if it was him that got burned or treated shit, he would get vengeance. And so that's how he's thinking. So he goes, why would I treat this nice guy badly? Because if I treat him good, he'll just leave and we'll be fine and we'll get something out of him. He'll get something out of us, you know? I thought that was interesting. Go on, Mike.
And in his conversation with the dad, he makes he also makes comments like I won't stand idly by, meaning, and then you have that whole conversation of what idly means, but yeah. It basically means
shut up,
yeah, shut the fuck up or you're going to regret it. But he tries to put it in as nice a term as possible. But and by the way, this is a place where you could argue. If I apologize if Phil already mentioned it, here's a parallel with him and President Ri, because Ri refused to sign the armistice with North Korea, and so he doesn't want to acknowledge the existence of the ceasefire.
That's a fair point. I didn't even think of that. I just felt like Eric said, or Barrett said, which was he just wanted the war to continue so he could have fear to control these people. But that's
he knew that the war was over, and he just wanted to control people anyway.
Yeah. But that's a fair analogy, Mike. I would concur with that, yeah. I could see that.
I just want to mention real quick, I don't think we should go line by line and scene by scene. But I enjoyed a couple things in this movie that were setups that paid off later. Like when the kid grabs the pencil at the beginning of the movie, that comes up later. And then at one point, the chief's son goes to sabotage something to try and make the Piper look bad, and that ends up playing a role at the end of the movie. So I enjoyed the setups and payoffs that they did.
But I have a question. So you see that he has a military uniform. I don't know which side that is. Did anybody look that up or knows? Was his a communist outfit or?
I don't think so.
No. These were strict anti-communists. They hated the communists. Everybody.
Well, I wasn't sure about the chief. You know, he has an outfit, and I wasn't sure if he's playing a role on the other side.
He used the communists as Snowball in 1984, Animal Farm, where the threat is out there and they're coming for us.
No, I get that. I just wasn't sure because I don't know the Korean outfits of the time.
Yeah, I'm going
whether
to
that was a communist one or not.
I'm going to assume it's South Korea's because of the story they're telling, right? And that he's so clearly anti-North.
Right. That's right. So I didn't even bother looking at the outfit. I guess
I got a sense that he was so bad that he could have been playing, you know, he escaped from the communist part, so he hated it, and that's why he was the way he was.
Not great.
But anyway.
I mean, now it's a very clear-cut choice, but if you ask me. But, back then, I don't think it was as easy.
Yeah, so I assumed he was quote unquote a war hero for the South, that's what I got out of it. But anyway, Mike, you were going to say something before Barrett asked his question. I don't know if you had something or not.
I was just agreeing with Eric. I think that was where they're. The Chekhov's pencil and the Chekhov swing.
Right. Yeah. And then
the Chekhov's taste of flesh.
I also liked the build up of figuring out how much of a cluster B motherfucker the chief is.
I was really confused at first. He'd already started kind of turning, but there's a conversation he has with Misook, where he's totally coming at her about leaving town with the Piper, when at that point she had not even agreed to do that. So I was a little confused during that scene because he's speaking as if it was fact and it was not.
Well, he wanted to make sure it would never become fact.
No, I get that. So I maybe he was gaslighting her on purpose. I don't know. Or he was trying to act like he knew something that he didn't actually know.
Well, he saw them getting along and he was worried about it. So then he took steps to stop her and.
And I think the chief's son, overheard stuff too.
Yeah, and he liked her too. Yeah, the chief.
Yeah, he liked it too. So basically, to set it up for folks, because the names, it's like who's Misook or whatever her name is. So Misook is a woman that lives in the village and is part of the chief's feared. Overlord people that, you know, that he overlooks. And she had her child and her husband die in the war. So she's a widow. And she joined the village later. So basically a lot of these folk came together to this village that was abandoned from another village, fleeing the communists. And on their way,
Was it abandoned?
Well, that's what we can talk about too. So they come to this village, but on the way to this village, they pick up a handful of other folk, and Misook happened to be one of them. So she wasn't originally part of the original group. And what happens is she and the Piper start becoming falling for each other, and. There's a scene during this cooking thing where they crack an egg and there's blood in the egg, So it was probably a fertilized egg, chicken egg. And the chief uses that as a thing that says, oh, look, you've been chosen as the new shaman of the town. And back in this day, we can assume there was a lot of superstition in rural Korea. And she says, no, it was just an egg that was fertilized. And he goes, no, the old shaman's dead, and we need a new shaman, and I've just chosen you to be the shaman. And you, and she goes, yeah, but I'm not a shaman. He goes, well, you're going to play that role. So that was the beginning, another beginning of when you start saying, okay, this guy is a manipulative jerk.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and when he's talking to the Piper, he tells a fictional version of the story of how they ended up in this village, which is that they always lived there, and then when they thought communists were invading, they left and left behind a shaman and a bunch of lepers. And then when they came back, those people had all been killed by the communists. But in reality, that's not what happened.
Mm-mm. Right. What happened, Eric? Why don't you tell the folks?
What happened is that they just came to this village that had a shaman with some lepers and said, let us in. And they were like, no. And so they killed them and took the village.
Well, and I think they said no because they had been kicked out from the original village originally and didn't want them in there because they had been treated bad.
I was unclear on that. I was unclear if there was an original village.
That's the sense I got. And then okay. They used the children crying to get themselves into this village.
Right, right. And made them cry.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, and you little bastard, wake up. Bam, bam.
And yeah, the chief, and it appears the whole village, I mean, all these people are kind of...
are complicit, yes.
Complicit, yeah, because not only did they arrest the lepers and the shaman, but they set the shaman on fire.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's psychotic. That's disgusting.
Well, yeah. After they dragged her out of the tomb where they put all the lepers, right?
Right.
So all the lepers are dead, and she's in there with them. They drag her out, and then they kill her.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. I mean, when I think of how evil people should kill people, you do it like the mob, where it's just business. You know, you shoot them in the head and mm-hmm. you bury the body. But these people are sadistic. It's like,
yes,
disgusting.
Yeah. And this is why it's important to know that Misook is a visitor or an outsider to the village. So yeah, that way she is not tainted by their sins.
Right.
She'll also never be a part of the village, too. So she has that downside as well.
Well, and that kind of makes me think that choosing her as shaman is a little weird.
I think he did it to set her up, just like he got the other guy to do the rat.
He's that kind of bastard that he would do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I also think, because this happens during a, and again, American, don't know anything about Korean culture, a first year ceremony. So it's the child's first birthday, I assume.
Yeah.
Like they do this thing where they present the child with a bunch of items, and like rock, paper, scissors, string. I don't know what was on there. And they chose string, which means, hey, yay, long and healthy life. And then they're going around passing out the eggs or making the eggs, and then there's this bloody egg. That might have been seen as an ill omen, just a guess. So
sure.
Rather than have the ill omen here on this child's first birthday, let's flip the script and make it a good thing. That's gotcha. Kind of where it felt like that was clearly a you know, hey, something bad just happened to the child, but the child didn't realize it, so we're going to make them think it's a good thing. Like, sort of when the bird shits on your head, you say it's good luck.
That egg's really gross.
Yes.
I know it can happen, and it's normal, but if that happened to me, I don't think I'd ever eat an egg again.
I definitely wouldn't eat that day at all.
Right. Yeah, well, I there was this... a Vietnamese girl that I used to work with, and they used to eat that. They basically they would eat fertilized eggs. because it had meat in it.
Well, I mean, you're going to eat eggs and you're going to eat chicken, then what's the problem, really? But,
well, in fairness, that really is all chicken is a fertilized egg after some time has passed.
Right.
Right.
Right. Well, and that's what she told me when she was telling me about
but
it.
Some things like, look gross.
Yes. It looks gross.
I don't care if they're edible or not.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my mother would always, every so often, you'd find an egg like that back when I was a kid, and my mom would just toss it. But anyway,
I think, in fairness, a lot of things that we eat, if you approached them with fresh eyes, are kind of gross. We're just
most of it
them.
Actually.
They are, yeah, I agree. But they,
we just don't think that. You know,
and particularly gets me.
If you mash it up and put it into a nugget, then you don't think about it.
Yeah, I mean, you take a cockroach and make it bigger and put it in the ocean, and suddenly people call it lobster, right? I mean.
Let's not get into the lobster.
This is really starting to let's move on.
Yeah, we don't want to get into that argument again. Eric left a group because of that.
Really? Now that sounds like an interesting story.
No, actually, it's because Bill was being an asshole, but. Let's not get into that.
Yeah, okay, how about oysters? Can we go with oysters?
I could. My perspective, it was the other way around, but we'll let it go. So let's get back into the movie. So you're right. So certain this here, they weren't looking at it as food. They were looking at it as a bad omen, and they turned it into, like you said, Mike, flipped it on the script to make it a good thing. Look, she's been chosen as shaman by the spirits. I guess. All right. So where do we want to go from here?
Maybe we talk about his rat plan.
Does his thing and gets the rats out of town. And that's upsetting to the chief's son because the chief's son had been trying to do it for like a year. And this dude showed up and did it in a day.
I got to say, I liked how they did this. Because again, it's the Pied Piper story. So, you know, we've all experienced the story. We've seen like maybe cartoon pictures of Pied Piper just sort of, you know, blowing his pipe and leading the rats out of Hamelin. But here there's like, he's as much a chemist as he is, a musician. And so he goes through, does a lot of planning and thought and research as much as you can in the day or two he has to prepare. So there's a lot more involved than him just blowing on his pipe. And I appreciated that.
Yeah, and I liked how the chief offered a cow, and obviously back then a cow was worth a lot of bucks, and the son was horrified, but I think the chief didn't think it would work, so he didn't think he was going to have to pay.
To be clear, he didn't offer an actual cow. He offered the amount of money that a cow was worth.
Right. The price of a cow.
Right, and then the guy says, oh, you don't have to do that. You can just do the price of a pig. I would be fine with that. I mean, I think he was going to do it for free if he didn't even – they didn't even offer him the money. But they agreed to do the pig, and sure enough, like you said, Eric, he did it in one day, and now he has to pony up, and it's like, holy shit, what do I do? And he could have probably paid up, but I read a review, because I went off and started reading reviews, as I usually do, and the only reason he didn't pay wasn't because he was cheap or whatever, it was because he just didn't want to, is what the review said. It's like typical, he just...
That's what I felt.
He's just a crook. He's, you know, he's just... Right,
yeah, man. Absolutely. He'd rather screw the guy over than give him anything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think some of it, though, is just his security and his power base and his son. Like, the son doesn't like the guy.
Yeah.
His son is, like, not offended, but threatened, and, you know, like, is insecure because here's this guy who does what he did.
And the chick that he likes him, not him, not the son.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then there's the risk now they're going to lose their shaman, which he doesn't want to do.
Even though she's not actually a shaman.
Right. I think he just realizes that he's allowed this presence into the village that now is too popular. You may encourage people to leave the village. He's already let it slip at least once that the war is over in his presence. So I think it's more than just he doesn't. Well, I think he has a reason, right? I think it's not just I'm going to be. I don't think I'm just going to be the mustache twirly. It's a mustache twirly reason.
No, so he has motivation. He's like, it's just shitty motivation.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But yeah, it's not just he does it for no reason. He does it for a terrible reason. And and I think that's just what Andy says. You know, hey, how do we know that he's really the one who did it?
Right. Because if
we were there and we saw it.
The guy could have honestly just paid, and then the guy would have left. Obviously, he would have took Ms. Suk as well. But I think you're right. I think it was more he was worried about his power structure. If he let Ms. Suk go, which was the shaman, if he pays the money, in other words, everything to him showed weakness, I think, as well. But anyway, you were saying something, Eric?
Yeah, I was just going to say that there's a scene where the chief confronts Misuk about leaving, even though she hadn't fully committed to it. But the fact that he's such an asshole to her, and he's—I don't know if he actually broke her ankle, but he's like stomped on her ankle to make her gimpy at least. And so then eventually, the next time that the Piper comes around and starts having a conversation about leaving, she's like, "Okay, I'm in." And he's like, okay, I'll just go get my money and we'll go. And she knows what these people are about. She's like, don't go get your money. Let's just go. Let's just go now. Let's go at dawn. Forget about your money. Let's just get out of here. And he would have been a lot better off if he listened to her.
A lot of people would have been, or at least a couple other people.
Except she wasn't being completely truthful either.
True.
Explain, Mike.
Well, because she didn't say how she actually that what happened to her ankle,
right?
Right. She lies and says was it that she fell or did something, and
yeah.
So she's still covering up for the chief.
And even
loan sharks know you don't break their legs on the first visit, right? You just give them a threat. You break their legs on the second visit,
right?
But she's not lying to him to be disingenuous. She's just lying because she's afraid, she's giving him good advice, but he does not listen to it.
Well, you know what? It kind of reminds me of like,
he also seems like an honorable dude, and if she told him what was actually going around, his reaction might be just to go confront the chief, which she's trying to avoid because she knows what's going to happen.
And also him, man, right? You know, and the whole male ego thing. You ever know what we're going to do?
With the leak in the roof.
Right.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah.
What was the thing with the nose where he got the guy rubbing his nose?
That was just stupidity.
It was Viagra.
That's what I thought he was talking about.
They were talking about, an ED drug, but for sure. But the thing with the nose was just stupidity.
It'll help, and he uses an arm gesture, you know, and it'll get hard and strong, but it won't be that big. You're referring to his
clip. Yeah, his entire
forearm. But why was he using it when he was talking to the chief?
Huh?
The guy was rubbing his nose when he was talking to the chief because the chief was rubbing his nose.
I totally missed that. That's hilarious.
When the chief is trying to get them all to believe that he's a commie through his son, there's one point, I think it's that scene, but there's one point where the chief rubs his nose and then the other guy rubs his nose. And the chief's looking at him like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure what that was all about.
I think that was just, I really think that was just a humorous side plot.
Okay.
And because he's arranged a signal, right? Where he's like, if it's working or not, will you just rub your nose? And then he sees the signal from the chief and he starts signaling him back, even though the chief wasn't part of the bet.
Yeah.
But anyway, after he talks with Misuk and convinces her to go with him. He goes to get his money, and that's where everything goes south. Because not only do they not give him his money, but when he reaches for the money, they chop his fucking fingers off. Holy shit. I did not see that coming.
Yeah, I neither did I. I had no idea that they were going to go there.
Well, that's when it really starts to go downhill, right?
Right. And then the chief comes out with all of his anti-Piper propaganda, you know, that he's a communist spy, and all this, and his son is a thief, which is technically true. but the father tries to take a blame for his son because that's what fathers do. And it just all goes bad. And the Piper ends up fingerless. And then Misook comes wandering up on the scene and just betrays him and goes along with the chief. And's like, yeah, he's a communist, and wanders off. Now I have a question for you guys, because this was very unclear to me. But I missed the nose thing, so maybe I missed this too. So Misook like betrays him and walks away. And then a few minutes later she comes back and she's been stabbed in the gut and she's bleeding out. Did she do that to herself, or did somebody else murder her?
I had that same question.
Yeah, I was confused,
I think it's
too.
A ritual. I think she did it.
That's what I thought.
I was thinking it might be, because she pretty much put a curse on the place while she was dying, right?
While she was in that weird trance like the other shaman was.
Well, and I think that's where she got it from.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I don't know, because I'm still trying to debate whether if there was really supernatural or not, or if it's just superstition. But I will say this. She becomes just like the guy with the ED. She becomes evil because they both throw him under the bus, you know, and because they didn't want to become outcasts from the village or be tagged as evil by the chieftain, just like the Piper was. So it was easier for them to save their own skin and let the Piper lose his fingers and all these other horrible things that happen. And she and her betrayal was absolutely shocking.
It was devastating. And that's the thing about it, is that if she was going to kill herself and place a curse on a village, betraying him like that doesn't make sense to me. But if she got murdered, then doing it off screen doesn't make sense to me.
I mostly agree with you, but I could see a point where she felt so guilty after she got away from that location that she just couldn't take it anymore.
Okay. She was shaken pretty badly.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you guys are any clearer on that than I was.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was a little confused on that, and maybe it would make more sense if I was Korean.
Right.
But, like, I would just, maybe because if she made the stand then and there, there was nothing that she could have done, right? This may be a ritual that, you know, she just don't walk around with a big white stabby thing. Whatever it is that she used to stab herself with.
Right. Okay. Yeah, as long as it was as unclear for everybody else, then I feel better.
Yeah, at one point I thought maybe it was the Piper's son that stabbed her, but then he wasn't off screen at that point. And then I was thinking maybe she suicided because she felt guilty. I don't know. But you're right. I mean, what would have been better, to take that sword and stab the chieftain and then just get killed, or just do it yourself and also throw the Piper under the bus? I don't know. I don't really know what.
No, because I'm fairly sure she killed herself and put a curse on the village. I just don't. If that's the route she was going to take, I don't get why she threw him under the bus first.
Maybe she got taken over by whatever that force was that took over the one shaman. And she killed herself in that trance and then walked out there and said that and blah, blah, blah. Maybe.
That's possible too,
but they don't give us anything.
It would have been nice if they'd shown us that. That's all I'm
saying. Yeah, I just assumed that she felt guilty right after throwing him under the bus. But
yeah, that's where I went with it.
But she uses the same wording as the original shaman, and she wasn't there for that.
Right.
So the idea that she's possessed by the spirit of that shaman wouldn't shock me.
Right.
And you can go, there's, I think, a lot. I remember we looked up some of this when we did the wailing about the shamanism.
Yeah, that was the
right,
one.
Right.
Yeah.
And I looked some of it back up because, you know, I'm not going to learn about their cultures. But I'm not going to retain any of that. But, it wouldn't shock me. I mean, we saw in the flashback, right, they killed the shaman behind a door, right, and you see rats flood out. So you could argue, like, are the rats her? Or something, you know, something created from.
Or were they just living in that cave and got burned out?
Right. But there's a connection between her and the rats.
Mm-hmm.
So, but again, she wasn't there to hear her curse them.
Right.
And that she uses the same words to curse them that the shaman number one did.
Right. Yeah, so maybe there was some supernatural element.
That's why I leaned into the supernatural, because it was so exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if you mentioned this. So the title in... Because they talk about the visitor. And now, us, visitor, is clearly referring to the Piper. But visitor, I think, in Korea is also a word, or whatever the word is, is also a word they use for ghost.
Okay.
So it's and that's the title of the film. Again, Korea is the visitor. So it's got a double meaning in the original language that we're not getting.
Right? All right. So repeat that once more.
So in Korea, the term, I guess the word, the visitor, it also is how they refer to ghosts.
Okay, I get you now.
So when we say, so when we hear the visitor, right, the visitor is going to come for you, or the visitor, that we just hear it as the visitor. Oh, a person from outside of town is going to be your downfall. And whereas if you're Korean, you know that the visitor also could mean, you know, you're going to be killed by a ghost.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, because I did mention that the film's translated in English was the guest, or visitor, if you prefer, and not the Piper. So that's an interesting aspect. And you're probably right, the double meaning for sure. Especially with the supernatural here.
And just to finish this up for the plot, after the curse is placed on the village, even though he's already cut off his fingers and refused to pay him, for some reason the chief feels the need to give poisoned rice to the Piper and his son. He puts it in his pack, tells him he's put some food in his pack, and sends them on their way. And the dad goes to take a nap or get some sleep because he's been through it. And the kid ends up eating the poisoned rice.
I think Phil answered that as to why, right? Because as you said, they don't want him going off and telling people about the village, and he knows that if you're mean to the guy, he's going to go off and tell people.
Right.
But he also
Just have the balls to slit his throat.
Yeah, but then his people don't know that you did that.
And that's not how he operates.
Yeah,
like he didn't do anything bad enough to justify being executed. He just let's view this through the eyes of the villagers. They may just think that he was a con man,
and a communist,
and a communist and a spy or a thief. But
a Chinese sympathizer or something. Yeah.
Well, and that whole scene with the kid's soul going to heaven. And him
that was
to keep
really
it.
Interesting. I don't think I'd ever seen anything exactly like that before.
That was neat. I liked that scene a lot. It was really heartbreaking.
I had never seen a visual representation of that. That was kind of
cool. Whatever, Mike, you have no empathy. Whatever. Cluster B.
Well, speaking of sociopaths.
Cluster B. Yeah, exactly, you cluster B.
But I think Mike got it perfectly, which is poison them. When they leave the village, people won't know that it was he that killed them, and they're gone, and they won't tell people about this evil group. Because, again, he's leaving not only with no money. That's one thing, but he's also leaving with no fingers.
No fingers, right.
So he can't play the pipe like he used to.
Yeah, he still has fingers on one hand. Let's be clear, he lost fingers on one of his hands.
Oh yeah, you're right. It's not that bad.
Right.
No, it's still bad. Now, I'm not saying it's not bad. He can still do some things though.
It was nuts that they chopped his fingers off. The son chopped his fingers.
Yes.
I would have thought, even though they said he was a communist or Chinese infiltrator or whatever, and his setup was pretty good, how he did it, especially with the superstition of the people. But it was amazing how they all fell in line, so easy. But again, that's the typical story of the society, right? and stuff. And so...
After his son is dead, the Piper then gets his revenge by letting all the rats out of the cave where he trapped them, leading them back into town where they just eat everybody, except for the children, who he then leads back to the cave and traps them forever.
Yes. So basically the shaman, both the original shaman and the second fake shaman, they both had the same thing, which is, you're all going to die, and your children may or may not die. And it's all because of the chief. That was curious. When you get burned that bad, I don't necessarily believe in vengeance or revenge, but
I do.
But to kill his son, I can see why he went nuts and took them all out.
Mm-hmm.
Children.
If anything's going to do it, it's that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because I think of it all the time. Like if someone ever did that.
If somebody did something horrible to one of your daughters.
Knock on wood, name is
Fox. What you need to do.
Right. So I got it. I got it. And he even said to the rats, he goes, don't worry, I'll let you have my body too at the end. But we never
right.
see, we do never see that. So I don't know. What does anybody else have to say of the vengeance and how this empathetic guy literally was burned by the world or people to the point where he decides to take them all out?
I thought it was delicious.
It was. I mean, those motherfuckers,
Those motherfuckers, exactly.
Yeah. And it's true, because here's this guy, nicest guy in the world, has full faith that humans are good, and... Okay, you get one or two, like the chief and the chief's son, but then when everybody else does it too?
Yeah, they were all involved with murdering a bunch of lepers wronged.
Yeah, exactly. The only thing I wish was a Masuk hadn't been didn't suicide, because I would have wanted to see her get eaten by the rats too, that bitch. But it was sweet.
That was pretty devastating when she took off the hair clip and was like, he's a communist. I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah. So because he gave her this beautiful hair clip as a gift, especially in those times when gifts were rare or jewelry and stuff were rare. He made it, I think, himself. And she's wearing it, and then she takes it off.
Surreptitiously, I might add, so they don't see it.
Right.
and then basically throws him under the bus and says, yeah, he's a communist and a Chinese spy and evil and blah, 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 and lied to us and about the rats and so on and so forth. So that betrayal was so devastating.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
I thought
she was the most evil of them all.
And unpredictable, too. Like, most of the time, if somebody does something like that coming in a movie, I know it's coming. But when she said that, I was like, I like gasped. I was like, oh, no, she didn't.
I was that way, too.
What was I was like, say, that Mike? Bitch.
I was going to say, I was already kind of like, I was enjoying the film, and it's Korean, so you get to the vengeance part, which, you know, that it is the Pied Piper tale, which is a vengeance tale, so...
Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance.
So I don't know how this wasn't originally a Korean story. But then you get to nearly the final shot of the film, which is him smiling as he sends the one-year-old to his doom. And I was like, feel good movie of the year.
Well, there was kind of a neat scene at that too, because the one kid is looking like, what are we doing? And he's holding the 1 year old, and the 1 year old isn't crying at first, and it goes to him smiling. Then it goes back and the kid is screaming.
The kid who's going to have a long and prosperous life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Underground.
Mm-hmm. Behind the boulder.
Yep. So
probably last for at least 7 days.
Yeah, oh,
they'll last longer if they just. Some of them will be smart enough to start eating each other.
Yeah, exactly. Some of them will eat the others. They'll get some drink from the blood.
I wonder if that's something that would occur to children of that age.
It occurs to any
person. No point.
It was going to be the Wrong Turn remake.
it's not like the infant can put up much of a fight.
Plus he's getting soft.
That could have turned into another fairy tale.
Yeah, there was one where the witch would eat the babies, and I forget what that was.
Exactly.
That was the witch, Phil.
I think that was Hansel and Gretel, I think it was. Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
cook them up good.
I thought you meant another movie.
Yeah, another movie, yeah, or show, or fairy tale, or whatever. But I was actually surprised. I thought he was going to let the kids. He was just going to leave the kids in the village, but then he decided to take them out too.
Made it much more fitting.
They were smart, if maybe a little on the nose. Where when the witch curses them, she said, "Then you're all going to die." But what about your children?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. So that isn't, you could, you know, that isn't even preordained. That is entirely left in the hands of the Piper.
Right.
And the Piper says,
"Oh, well."
Time to pay the Piper.
Scorch earth. And that's where that phrase comes from, pay the Piper. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's right. From this story. I wouldn't even
know. I know.
Yeah, now you do. Exactly. That's where it comes from. From this story. But I don't even know if she was a witch. I know she was a shaman, at least.
A shaman, the witch. The shaman.
But even
similar,
so.
Similar in idea.
Even so, all these people were created to become vengeful because of the terrible things that other people did to them. So,
well, that's like vengeance and not just being a dick.
Yeah, exactly. Right. This was all vengeance, and none of this actions cause reactions. And this was a reaction to an action, which was horrible. And or multiple actions, if you prefer. And I think the Piper would have forgave them all, even his fingers. Because he was just going to leave. It was the poison that said, "That's it, I'm done."
He had nothing else to live for anymore. They took it all away.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, that was devastating. That was the thing that literally I think if he had left the village, he would have wisened up and say, all right, I don't trust everybody anymore like I did before, especially after the war where people, you know, would take in people because of, you know, losing homes and families and all that. But at this point, I just got burned, lost my fingers. They stole money from me, and all of the, and the bitch threw me under the bus. And my and the guy that I helped with the medicine, he threw me under the bus. So fuck him, too. I think he would have left but and just been bitter and more careful. But then the poison. The poison.
Yeah.
That's just unbelievable. And that's one of the worst ways to die, too. To be poisoned is just terrible. That's disgusting. Fucking bastards.
It's like those women that slow poison their husbands.
Bastards. Let's see. Where else did we want to go? Mike, what else did you have on your list?
Well, I was going to say with her. I mean, there's we've done a lot of research over the years now about like group psychology.
Yep.
There's a reason why I've never been a big fan of angry mobs.
Yeah.
I don't care how good the cause is that you're protesting. Like right. All you're ever bored of is one person throwing a rock.
And it becomes a mob.
It becomes a mob and things can go out of hand. Hey, you do you. I'm talking about me, right? If you're out there protesting, whatever, go ahead. But just for me, like anytime you start getting groups together, the odds of it turning into something that you were not anticipating, and then once you're there, you're part of it.
Yep.
But I know like they've done things like where they put a like they again, it's a group psychology experiment where they put a group of people in a like sitting in a row, and the first like five people are all in on the experiment, and the person they're testing is the last one and doesn't know. And then they go and they ask them all questions, and they always end with whoever it is that they're testing, and they're basic questions. And then they get to a question, and they'll do something like, "What's 2 + 2?" And the first person says 5. And the second person says 5. And then the third person says 5. And then the fourth person says 5. The fifth person says 5. And the sixth person is looking at them going like, 5? Because there's just there's that need in most people to fit in with the group, right? We are social animals. And when the rest of the group is telling you something and you know that that's wrong, there's still this weird pressure that we feel the need to go along with it and not to challenge it. And
especially the weak people.
And but
be
I think
the best
it's
of
also,
us, honestly.
Yeah. There was a book that came out. I think I might've mentioned the podcast years ago, but it's, I think it's called like How We Decide. And like one of the stories they tell is, what happened on a 9/11 to the people in the World Trade Center. And like there were two guys who left their office to go take a leak. And as they came back, they were out of their office, but they could see everybody in their office just sitting there and remaining there because their boss is telling them, everybody just wait here, everything will be okay. And they're out in the hallway and everybody's running by them, and they opted to go run out with everybody else. And so
you're talking about 9/11? You're talking about 9/11. Yeah, yeah.
Well, think about January 6th. There's people that, you know, went to court and they didn't understand why they did what they did. Because that same mob mentality just grabs you up and pulls you in and you do things that you would not normally do.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring that up. Like the most people who went there, whatever you thought, they were there to protest and to protest. Whatever you think about the validity of their protest is a whole other matter. They didn't all go there that day thinking we're going to storm
absolutely not. But that's why I agree with you. I don't go to things like that because that's what can happen. And from an early age, my parents told me whoever you associate with is, you know, bad things could happen to you if they're bad people. So, you know, when you're associated with a group of 5,000 people and one of them does something bad and it snowballs, then all of a sudden
it doesn't matter which 5,000 people either. If you're engaging in a protest, assume you will end up tear gassing in jail.
That's exactly my assumption too.
Right. And the fact is, the person you're protesting with, again, it doesn't matter what the cause is.
Right.
Maybe you can have that asshole in that group, because any mass group, I've been certainly lots of people where I'm like, why, please don't agree with me. I don't want you on my side. Once you know, you see that person out of context, you don't know who they are as a human being, but you know they're with you. They're one of my guys or gals, depending on. And, well, somebody threw a rock at them. Well, fuck you. You threw a rock at one of my people. Or my person did something, or the guy that you're with threw a punch. Well, now I got to have their back. They're one of my people. No, you don't. They're a stranger. But it's a weird psychology thing. And in this case, you know, she's sitting there in front of all these people. And
he's a communist. He's a communist.
Yeah, well, let's be honest. She is in danger. She is in danger if she does not do what she did.
Right. And this is, you can go very definitely to, the Salem witch trials, right? Where now some of it was people playing along to play along and people using it to steal money and property and other things. But some of it's just social pressure.
Yep.
You know, you're getting called in front of court and they're saying, like, isn't it true that Goody Proctor was a witch? And you go, yes.
Yeah.
Just because you're being, that's what you're being told to say.
Otherwise you might be the next witch.
And it's why I've always said, like, when people say, especially when we were younger and, if there was a draft, there was actually, a risk that you might be called up. And people say, well, if you called, would you serve? I always said, I have no idea. I know what I would like to, I'd like to think I would do it.
Yeah.
But I have no clue because it hasn't happened, right?
Idea. If you are serving, are you going to stand or are you going to run?
Right.
I don't know. I've never been in that situation.
And anyone, I think, who we all want to tell ourselves, oh, if I was in that position, I would do the right thing.
Well, it's always easy to say that until you're in the situation.
And then and then when you're in the situation, you're like ratting out your friends.
Noble thoughts are one thing, noble actions are another.
Yeah.
This isn't to excuse. I mean, what she did was wrong. Yeah. She did pay a price for it, though. So.
Right, right. I just wish she could have been eaten by the rats. That would have been a better
I don't know, because yes, I said that bitch in my mind, but I still don't hold her to account like any of the rest of them.
Right. I don't think she's a piece of shit like the rest of the village.
Right, right.
She made
a bad decision.
I think she may, in my personal opinion, I think she was worse because they were just evil. She also betrayed.
She was under duress, and she had already been hurt by the chief. And she saw what they could do to the lepers. She could see herself being next. She
chopped this dude's fingers off.
Right. She knew from the moment she told him not to go get the money that.
Yeah, she knew before it all went down.
Yeah, all right, but she decided to save herself and said fuck you to someone that.
Yes.
You wouldn't know what you're going to do in that situation until you're in it.
Yeah, I see your point, but there's people that wouldn't want to sell their soul. I wouldn't want to sell my soul. So
yeah, well, you know, when you're in that situation,
say that now. We'll see.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to be in that situation because I don't want to get killed. But
she didn't want to be in that situation.
So you're not going to go wander the countryside of Korea.
I would not sell my soul. I just wouldn't do it.
But your body is another story.
So speaking about when is the dark discussion? When is the next dark discussions meetup going to be?
Let's see. Anything else, Mike, that you had on your list that you wanted to bring up?
Let me actually look at my list because I haven't. I've been doing this. I've been pretty good. Most of all from memory.
You actually have lists.
I usually take notes if I'm watching it at home.
That's what I think every time.
They make lists. I don't do that anymore.
I don't either.
I don't think I've done it since 2014.
For me, it's mostly because writing it down helps me to remember.
Oh, no, I get it.
I'm the same way.
Literally, I don't have to look at the notes, but the fact that I wrote the note down helps it stick in my mind.
Yeah, I get that. I just don't do it.
I wrote down, just little things. I wrote down, like, the torn photo I thought was a nice, cute little visual of the kid.
Yeah,
like, that was pretty cool.
Putting Misook into the place of his mother, because it looks like one of those carnival things where you stick your head in. And you put your head on top of the fat lady from the circus or whatever. And, so he's just sitting here looking at that. And then at the end, the Piper has seen his son has taped paper behind to the back of the photo and drawn her face into it, which is just another way to just twist the knife in a little harder.
It's quite effective.
Yeah, the product placement for Lucky Strike.
Yeah.
I thought that was good.
Yeah, Lucky Strike.
That, kiss my ass, monkey.
Well, so there's a question I have since you brought up Lucky Strikes. So when they show that all those guys have a pack of Lucky Strikes, does that mean our hero gave them each one after he had given the chief one, and the chief saw that as a threat to his power as well? So that kind of led
though.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I got out of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Continue, Mike. Sorry.
And I like the fact that what the kid said about, I was like, this is my dad. He's strong and manly. He's good at everything.
Yeah, he's trying to be a good wingman.
He was definitely his biggest fan.
Yeah, nobody in this movie is subtle, right? Nobody's good at nobody's good at soft selling. They're all just. But yeah, that was it. Yeah, it's and then all the stuff about what happened in South Korean culture, and again, that's the fact that specifically a comment on that First Republic.
Great. Yeah, based off of when the war just ended, I was assuming it was like September or August of 1953. So, let's see. Anything else anybody wanted to bring up? Mike, anything else? You had a more list before Barrett interjected about the Lucky Strike you were going to bring up?
No, that was it.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. I'm good. Yeah, anyone else?
I'm good. That means you, Barrett.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, sounds good. All right, so we do have a little time for what we've been watching. So, Eric, what do you got?
What do I have? I went to the theater last weekend and saw a movie called Out of Darkness, which was interesting. It's set 45,000 years ago with some early humans. I believe they made up the language that's spoken in the movie by the actors, so it's all subtitled. It's classified as a horror movie, and I don't know if I'm on board with that per se. But I enjoyed the movie for a lot of reasons. The soundtrack was phenomenal. The cinematography was great. The acting was good. Kind of like the Piper, I was not driven on this movie to begin with. But then as the movie progressed, I got more and more into it. So ultimately, I would end up giving a recommendation. Just be patient with it. So that's really the only movie that I watched, because I've been spending most of my time playing Baldur's Gate 3. And I can only say even more positive things about it this week than I did last week. This is a great game. And if you've ever played Dungeons & Dragons, this is the closest approximation I've found of it in a video game. I mean, nothing's ever going to be, you know, being at a table with your buddies. But if you're just looking for, you know, the stat management equipment, you know, choices, combat, rolling dice, all that's in there, and it's good stuff. And I also found out that there's a way that you can respec your characters along the way. So if you make a choice that you don't particularly care for down the road, I mean, you can't go so far as to change your race, but you can respec yourself at any point, which means you go back to level one, reassign all your stat points again, and then, you know, say you did five levels as a sorcerer, and you decide that, oh, maybe you would have liked to multi-class as a rogue starting at level three, you can make that change along the way. So it's kind of cool in that regard. There's a gold cost associated with it, but you can do it. So really, the number of choices you have as far as what character you played is nearly unlimited. You can do anything. It's great.
You playing it on Xbox?
It's on Xbox. I think it's only the next-gen consoles that it works on, the PS5 and the Xbox X Series or S Series. Okay. And it's available for PC, too.
Given the fact that they're talking about the next Xbox already, I think it's fair to say the next-gen consoles are now the current-gen consoles.
I'm just using the commonly used terminology by everybody else in the world, Mike.
Yeah, I think they're all wrong. We need to work on it. Starting with this podcast.
When the history of the consoles, the arbiter of what term to use.
Well, I ask that question, like when we're talking about sports, when does this season stop becoming this season and start becoming last season, and the next season stops becoming next season, becomes this season?
It really, like, the end of the season?
I'm sorry, Eric. I did not want this to devolve into that. I just wanted to know what format you were playing it on.
Anyhow.
It's Mike's a pain in the ass. We all know it. And a sociopath.
Cost to be.
He'll kill children while he's arguing about terminology.
Wrong, I don't want to be right.
So that's it for me. I've been spending most of my time on Baldur's Gate 3.
All right, sounds good. Barrett, what do you got?
Went to see Madam Web last night. I enjoyed it. I won't say there's anything different about this film from other superhero films. There is some neatness about her abilities and how she uses them. I kind of liked how they portrayed that in the film. I wasn't bored. But I can see why because it doesn't propose anything different than anything we've seen before, really. I can see why it's not doing as well in the box office, and I can see why that just gives it an automatic fail. For the critics, because they have to bash on stuff. So there you go. And that's pretty much it for me. I haven't really done anything else.
All right, sounds good. For me, I've been playing Nier Automata, the video game, again. So playing it's a three-part game, huge open world. I'm right now doing the 2B part of the game. 2B is a character that's a woman android that fights a robot. Basically, the premise of the game is pretty awesome. It's basically 10,000 AD. So, 100-something thousand years from now or whatever. So basically what happens is an alien invasion comes, they create robots to fight the humans. The humans create androids to fight the robots. Eventually, the humans and the aliens all die away, and they're dead. And then thousands of years later, the robots and the androids are still fighting because they're programmed to do that for the mankind and for the aliens. And so, as time goes by, the robots begin to change into more human-like, where they're forming human-like societies, and the androids are confused and whatnot. So there's a lot of existential and things of that nature. in the game. And so it is a really great game. 2B especially is one of those iconic characters in video games or anime or whatever that woman cosplay to all the time because of her iconic outfit. And then I'm watching the television series, the anime based off of the video game on Crunchyroll called Nier Automata 1.1, version 1.1A is the title of it. And it's really good because it follows the story of the game really closely. And it's an excellent interpretation of the game. As I said, it follows the game a lot. So if you like science fiction and if you like video games, high recommend.
Eric, stand by. What was the name of that character again, Phil?
2B.
I was thinking the same thing.
Why? Did I say it a lot?
Fuck 2B. I'm not falling for it, Mike.
Oh, 2B. Oh, I get it. 2B. Gotcha. Yeah, so 2B is the name of the character, which stands for Yura, because that's the name of the android model. Yura B version number 2 or something like that, or number 2 B version. So, and B is like a attack android, while S is for scout and there's a few others. There's a is for is another military type and so on and so forth. So the number is the number in the order and the letter is the type. What about you, Mike? What do you got? That's all I have.
Yeah. Because for some weird ass reason, New York is now schools are taking off the week for President's Day instead of just the weekend.
What? Wow.
Me. So I've had the week off for no particular reason. Other than, you know, the fact that Gamescape Polk existed. And, and my TV's broken. So I went to see a couple of films. I went to see, Argyle, first. And that was a fun film. It's an action film. It's by, Matt Vaughn, who's the guy who directed, the Kingsman series. And I think Kick-Ass and X-Men First Class. And it is kind of like, what if they wrote the Kingsmen who are for wine moms instead of for frat bros? It's with Bryce Dallas Howard, and it's a good film. It's enjoyable. It's a lot of fun. It like seemed to have bombed at the box office, so there will not be a sequel to it. But I still thought it was enjoyable. Then Pam and I went to see Poor Things, which is a comedy, sort of a science fiction comedy. And it was fun. I will definitely say it's a little long. I think they could have dropped the final act because the final act basically turned the subtext into text. I didn't think it needed to be there. But it's Emma Stone. Mark Ruffalo and Willem Dafoe, and I definitely recommend it. Although it's a little risque, so that may offend certain people. And then I went to see last night. I went to see Out of Darkness, like Eric did. It's only a 90-minute movie. I enjoyed it. I can see why it's horror. It's kind of a survival horror film. It is foreign language, made up foreign language, but foreign language. I had to laugh because I've mentioned on the podcast before that AMC Theaters has been doing this thing where they sneak preview movies like a week or two before they come out. The last one I did that with was Lisa Frankenstein. Well, they did that with this film. And people were upset because they went into an unknown $5 movie and it turned out to be a movie that had subtitles. And people were pissed that it was a movie that had subtitles. And like they couldn't understand that it wasn't a foreign film, that it was a made up language because we're talking about Neolithic era. And it's there is no English version, right? It's an English language movie that nobody speaks English in. But anyway, I just thought it was fun. But yeah, I think that's a recommended film. Nothing that's quite grabbed me as far as like, ooh, this is classic film of the year yet, at least as a horror film goes. But definitely recommend it.
Yeah, did you see the Emma Stone film too?
Yeah, that was Poor Things.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But what about Lisa Frankenstein?
I think I mentioned that last week.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. All right, sounds good. Anything else, Mike?
That's it. So I get my new TV on Thursday, and I haven't really played any games.
A new TV? I thought you already got a brand new TV.
Got a TV
a few years ago.
2020. And something busted on this one, and it's not been working for about a month. And the first part they sent us was the wrong part. And then the second part they sent us, the day they were supposed to repair it, we had a blizzard. And then the next time they came, that they opened up the package, and the part they sent us was bent, and that didn't work. So now for the third visit, they sent us like four packages of parts. They tried all the packages of parts. None of them work. So we basically got refunded the full value of the TV. And
that's nice, at least. 4 years later, that's not bad.
We paid for the five-year plan, right?
Okay.
The complete plan. And what happens if in that 5 years the TV shits itself, which in this case it did, you get the full refund for your television. The plan ends
at LG, wasn't it?
It was an LG, yes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
You're the only one that had a bad experience, Eric. I guess
it's weird because I have been looking, because I know that was there, and it still comes as like the highest recommended TV
out of any of them.
It's very good ratings in Consumer Reports.
Yeah, good
and
quality.
It's not
sure.
Just Consumer Reports, because there's lots of people doing the Consumer Reports thing. And so I've been looking for it, and it's like, no, it has not gotten anything else. So, I mean, basically the thing is now, so for the price we paid for this TV, we got a new TV that's better because it's a two or three-year later model.
Yeah.
And we got just a new five-year warranty on top of that for the same price and still have an extra $200 left over.
So if you're buying an LG, get the extended warranty is the moral of the story.
Yeah, I would. It will increase the cost of the purchase by about 20% if you get it through Best Buy, but the Best Buy coverage is really good. You may just be frustrated in how long it takes to get everything taken care of.
I think that's
universal.
And
that is not in any way, the repair people were perfectly fine. It's because they're not the ones who sent the parts out.
Right.
No, I had a similar experience, only was dealing directly with LG instead of Best Buy.
Well, that's why we didn't do it through LG. We did it through Best Buy.
Yeah, yeah.
Your warning was not unheeded. It was just not enough to stop.
Right. No, I remember the deal you got on that. It was a good deal.
All right, sounds good. Anything else, Mike? Is that it?
That's it.
All right, so before we give our final reviews on the film tonight, Eric, you actually do another podcast with your buddy Dan.
I do. It's a general interest podcast called the Askancity Podcast. That's spelled Askancity. You can find it wherever you get podcasts.
All right, sounds good. And Barrett, what's the podcast that me and you do with a group of other co-hosts that we have sometimes join us?
Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Reviews. It's a catch-all podcast. We do interview directors, writers, watch movies and review them, all sorts of different things.
Indeed, indeed. And Mike, what's the podcast that me, you, and Eric do?
That is Cinema a la Carte, where we review a non-Dark Discussions film and take turns choosing. The next one is going to be a film that may or may not have something to do with sports ball.
right. And Barrett, what's the podcast that me, you, Mike, and Sean Fox do?
Cortana's Communiques, where we review the Halo show. We are in season 2, and we'll be doing episode 4 next.
All right, very well. All right, so I guess we get into our final thoughts on the Korean film The Piper. So let's start with you, Mike.
Yeah, I like this film a lot. It's interesting to see a Western fairy tale put through a Korean filter. But the one thing we do know about Korean filmmakers is that they can make the best vengeance films. And they did a really good job with it here. So I definitely recommend it.
All right, sounds good. And Eric, what do you got?
Yeah, it took me a little while to warm up to this movie, but I did eventually, and by the end of it, I was all in. So I agree with Phil's assessment that this is a hidden gem.
All right. For me, yeah, I was actually quite surprised how good this film was. The examples of empath and sociopath were absolutely fantastic, spot on. Felt as realistic as you can get for those type of characters. The film was a hidden gem as well, as like Eric just said. I was happy that it was only an hour and 48 minutes, so it didn't wear out its welcome like some Korean films can do. And it was definitely one of the better films I've seen in the past year or so, even if it is a 9-year-old film. So yeah, I recommend. Barrett, what do you got?
Yeah, I really, really like this film. I'm glad I got to see it. It's probably something I wouldn't have seen otherwise, and I highly recommend it.
All right, sounds good. So once again, the film is called The Piper. It's a 2015 film from South Korea, directed by Kwang Tae Kim, as well as written by him, and stars Sung Ryung Roo, Sung Min Lee, Woo Hee Chun, and June Lee. The film is readily available wherever VOD is found for rental or purchase. And as of February 22nd, 2024, it is also available on Tubi for free. So that's it. I guess we're done. So with all that stated, Eric, what is it?
All right. Thank you for listening to us talk about The Piper. Come back next week. We'll have another topic. Ooh, long week.